What is up, guys? It is Friday. It is time for Behind the Dish, Episode 3. I know it is late because I have felt so bad this week. I don't know what it was. I felt a little bit better today. I'm still a little bit sluggish. I'm sure when this video, the more it goes on and on, my voice, you'll start to hear it in my voice, and I apologize. But I wanted to get this episode done because I want to get it to a consistent basis. Like, you know, I want to do Sundays, Tuesdays, and Fridays, I think. And I didn't want to miss this Friday because I want to get in kind of a routine. And last time I talked to you, I said I was going to talk about sports today, and that's what we're going to do. I want to cover some baseball. I think at the very end, I might talk about some wrestling. I know some of you just cringed when I said that, but it's okay. We're going to make it through. It's going to be fine. But we're going to start with Bryce Harper, because Bryce Harper is obviously the most interesting story of this baseball season, and it's going to carry into offseason. Because nobody really knows where he's going to go, and nobody knows what he's going to do, because he's not having the year that everybody expected. And I don't know if that's because he's feeling the pressure of his contract. You know, he's expected to get big, stupid amount of money at the end of this year. We're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars. But his average is not there. So no, there are people saying that maybe he needs to sign a short-term contract somewhere. Maybe not one of those big market teams. And then there's other people that say, hey, he's still Bryce Harper. He's still a guy you can build a franchise around. He's still young. So there's arguments to be made for both, and there's teams that I like for both. I think the most obvious choice Bryce Harper can make is go to the Yankees. I don't like that. I don't think it's very sexy at all. I think it's bad for baseball. I'm not a basketball fan, but it's the same thing with the Golden State Warriors. I think it's a slippery slope to a super team. Because the Yankees already got a stacked team. They got a stacked outfield. And Bryce Harper would honestly crowd that outfield a little bit. Because you got Brett Gardner. You got Aaron Hicks. You got Aaron Judge. You got Stanton. So I don't know what they would do with all those guys if Bryce Harper did decide to go. And that's even if the Yankees sent him a contract. If both of those things did happen, I guess they would switch out. I don't know if they would trade Aaron Hicks. Most likely they would, because he's younger than Brett Gardner, and they would get more return for Aaron Hicks than Brett Gardner, I would suspect. But I don't like that choice. I don't like the Yankees at all. I think it's bad for baseball, like I said before. He would hit a lot of home runs. He would get a lot of RBIs, obviously, because the Yankees play in pretty much a T-ball park. But I don't like it. And also, I think Bryce Harper needs a beard. I don't know. I don't think he has one right now. I know he shaved when he was, like, slumping. Ironically, it was around the time when he played the Yankees. A lot of people said he was auditioning. I don't know about that. But I just think Bryce Harper needs a beard. I know that sounds ridiculous, but he can't have one in New York, and that's why, another reason why I hate that choice. There's another team that a lot of people are talking about, and that's the Chicago Cubs. Yes, they do have Jason Hayward that plays the same position. However, both of those guys, Harper and Jason Hayward, can go anywhere in the outfield, basically. I think Jason Hayward probably has got more range than Bryce Harper, but it's not a bad problem to have if you're the Chicago Cubs. I think the reason this rumor started is because Chris Bryant and Bryce Harper have kind of like a bromance going on. And I think that's good for baseball. I think that's pretty much good for any sport. You got two personalities just gelling well together. I mean, the Braves had that going on with Ozzy Albies and Acuna. And it's pretty funny to watch. It's pretty entertaining. But since we've got these two obvious picks out of the way, I'm going to talk about my dark horse in this race. And I honestly don't even know if they are in the race. I know they've talked about it in the beginning of the season, but I don't know if things have changed. I don't know if they're still interested in Bryce Harper, because like I said, his average is a little low, and not even a little low, it's pretty low, even compared to like some pitchers. So he's batting like 217, I don't know, maybe it's over 220 now, I'll have to check. It's low, that's all that matters. But my dark horse team is the Colorado Rockies. And I know some people are scratching their heads because that's not really a spot where most people go. But I think it would be perfect for Bryce Harper. One, because he would be protected all over the lineup. He would have guys like Charlie Blackman, guys like Arenado, guys like Trevor Story. He would be protected. He wouldn't have to feel like he was the guy in the lineup. And obviously he doesn't feel that way in the Nationals either, because they had a pretty good lineup too. But I think that's something that Bryce Harper might want. I don't know. I'm not Bryce Harper. I wish I would. I was. I wish I was about to have a problem like he was in this fall, going into the winter, off season, whatever. but I think it would also be a good ballpark for him, because the ball in Colorado jumps off the bat really, really well, even compared to New York and Chicago. So that's why I think that's a really good spot for him if he's going to like want to sign a short-term deal. Obviously, I don't think he would sign anything longer than like 3 years max with them, even though they're a pretty young team. I don't think Colorado is a place he's going to stay for a long time. Honestly, I think he would just sign like a one-year deal there. And I don't know if that's something they would want to do. I'm not sure if Bryce Harper would get the money that he wants to get. But it would be an interesting story. And it would be a lot less obvious than the Chicago Cubs and the New York Yankees. Another story I want to talk about with baseball is Atlanta Braves, and obviously I'm a little bit biased with this, but we're playing so well. It's really nice to see, because we really weren't supposed to be good until next year or the year after, but guys like Albies and Charlie Culberson and even Camargo, I feel like came out of nowhere. He went from like this really good backup guy to a lot of people think he should start every day. Third base or shortstop, you move Dansby around, sit Dansby. Because Dansby's really not playing really well this season. So honestly, he needs to move down back to AAA or sit on the bench for a while. Because I don't know what's going on. He started off really hot in the beginning of the season, and he just really fell off. But Camargo, at the beginning of the season, third base was a hole that we needed to fill. And a lot of people thought we were going to get Moose from Kansas City. But a lot of people didn't want that to happen, because Camargo started heating up. He's a switch hitter, which is really nice. And Moose, he's bats left-handed, and he has worse numbers than Camargo in more games. So a lot of people just think we should keep Camargo for the time being, because we do have Austin Riley in the farm system, so it's not like we don't have somebody that could play third base for a long time in the future. But yeah, like guys like that have stepped up this season, and it's really bumped up the time frame of when the Braves are supposed to compete. Believe it or not, I did say before it was actually the first series when you're playing the Phillies, I was like, I think the Phillies or the Braves are going to win the division. Obviously, at the time, that was a stretch, but the Nationals aren't playing well, the Mets aren't playing well, and obviously the Marlins aren't very good at all. But I wish I made a bet back then, because I probably would have made some money, because I don't think anybody picked the Phillies or the Braves to be where they're at right now. And I think it's going to be a race that goes well into close to October. I think it's going to be a really close race. I'm not saying the Nationals won't heat up and come back into the race, but right now I think it's really a two-team race between the Phillies and the Braves. And I say that, but the Nationals aren't very far back. I don't think the Nationals have their crap together right now. I think they're obviously struggling as a team. They're fighting with each other. They got, you know, we had Trey Turner not run out of bunt the other day. You had some argument with Scherzer and I forgot who else. It might have been Strasburg, but I don't know. And speaking of Strasburg, he's back on the DL. I don't know what is up with that guy, but he is always on the DL, which sucks because he's really talented and he's still in his prime of his career, but I feel like he's always on the DL, and a lot of people joke to say that he's on the DL because he has a bad game. I don't know all about that, but yeah, he's definitely on the DL a lot, so that's obviously problematic. I'm trying to think if there's anything else in the baseball that I want to talk about before we switch over to wrestling. Oh, the Brewers. The Brewers are such a good team this year. In a lot of aspects, I think they're just a lot like the Braves. Honestly, if the Braves weren't a thing or they couldn't play baseball for whatever reason, I would probably be a Brewers fan. And I know that sounds like a bandwagon or whatever, but I've always liked Yelich, and I like a lot of people on their team. So if I had to pick a second favorite team in baseball, and I don't like doing that, I like being loyal to one team, it would probably be the Brewers. Honestly, if I had to make a prediction for the World Series today, I would think it would be the Brewers and the Red Sox. I think they're probably the most balanced teams in all baseball. Obviously, the Yankees are really good too, but I don't know if they're going to win that division because the Red Sox are really good. J.D. Martinez is having an insane year. I think he's on pace to hit at least 45 home runs, and that's just a really attractive number. Fenway is doing really good for J.D. Martinez. But I think we're about to switch over to wrestling, and I know that isn't everybody's cup of yogurt, so if you want to cut this podcast episode short, I'll see you guys later. Well, actually, I guess I'm not seeing you right now. I'll talk to you guys later. Hug your grandma. Don't do anything I wouldn't do. Just be a good person. And I'll see you guys Sunday. And I said see you again. But it's fine. You know what I mean. But if you are still here, a lot of big things are happening in wrestling right now. Monday, we had an announcement that the women are going to have an all-female pay-per-view, which is pretty cool. I know I was getting a lot of backlash, like a lot of dudes don't want to watch an all-female pay-per-view. But to those people, I say shut up, because it's not like they're putting on bad matches. They're doing sometimes as good as the guys are. It's not a time where they're just out there for 15-second matches. They're actually sometimes putting better matches on than the guys. So, yeah, it's really not that big of a deal. If you don't want to watch it, don't watch it. I mean, there's no reason to bash something that you haven't even seen yet, first of all. And it's also not cool to be like, oh, it's a bathroom break because they're girls. I mean, it's 2018. Go over yourself. Another thing in wrestling right now is obviously Roman's still getting pushed down our throats. And it's annoying because they keep saying he's a top babyface, but he keeps getting booed and he keeps... I mean, people leave the arena. I mean, people do not like this guy. And I don't know what it's going to take for Vince to understand that it's not, you know, those smart fans being against Roman. It's because he's not that good of a babyface. He just comes off arrogant and cocky, and that just screams heel and, you know, bad guy. He's also got a hillish look. He's got long hair, he's got a beard. He just looks like a stereotypical bad guy. I don't see why they're pushing him as the top babyface. I know he's supposed to be a really good guy outside of the ring, And I've read some really good stories about him. He does a lot of good charity work. But it's not a good look as a wrestling fan in a wrestling company to have your top babyface booed out of the arena every night. And I know people are saying, oh, it's a split crowd every time. No, it's not. It's really not. You can use that argument with guys like John Cena, because I agree, it's a split crowd, but not for Roman. And I think a lot of it has to do with, he hasn't had any character development. His character is the exact same as it was when he was in the Shield. He's just the guy that used to be in the Shield and beat the Undertaker. And he won't let you forget that part. When you compare him to guys like Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins and their character development, it's not even a comparison. Because he still has the same music. He still has basically the same attire. He still has the stupid wet hair. And that's, you know, that's me nitpicking. A lot of them have stupid wet hair, but it's super annoying on Roman for some reason. And that leads more of a reason why he should be a heel. Especially when you got guys that can be naturally top baby faces in the company, like guys like AJ Styles, Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose when he gets back, and Daniel Bryan. You don't need to push Roman Reigns down our throat as the best baby face in the company, because he's just not good at it. And you can say it's just a bunch of dudes hating on him because a lot of girls like him or whatever. It's not that. It's because he isn't good at his job right now. And that's not me saying that he should get fired from the company, because I think there's this thing that he would be really good at. I think he would be a really good heel. I don't know if I would be a fan, because I'm honestly tired of seeing his face. And I think it's because I'm tired of seeing Brock and him wrestle all the time for the title. It's just, they don't put on good matches. I don't know why the company is acting like they do. It's super, super basic heavyweight matches. They'll do their finisher 100 million times. Brock will do the suplexes. Roman will do the Superman punch. It's the same thing. If you've seen one Brock versus Roman match, you've seen them all. Except their first match at WrestleMania. That was actually a pretty good match. And I think, yes, we did get a very good moment with Seth Rollins at the very end of that match, where he cashed in the Money in the Bank. But I honestly think that was a shot that WWE missed to get Roman over. Because, you know, he was busted open. He was still giving Brock everything he got. And he honestly looked like the Samoan, sorry, Mom, the Samoan badass that he should be. but he just doesn't come off that way on a weekly basis. He just looks like a guy that comes out and gives the same basic promo every night, or some variation of it. I mean, it's just, I'm not a fan, and I'm not saying I won't ever be a fan, but he's going to have to do a lot of something spectacular to get me to be on his bandwagon. I don't know what that is, but hopefully they'll find out, because I don't think he's going to go away anytime soon. And like I said, I don't want him fired. I think he's not that bad, like he's not bad enough that they need to fire him. But he's just, something's got to change. His character's got to develop some way. So hopefully we'll see that happen. NXT's on fire right now. Ciampa's champ, which is crazy, because, you know, Aleister Black, well, I can't say that. Aleister Black wasn't that great of NXT champion, which sucks, because he's such a really good talent. He can do so many things. He's not bad on the mic. He's not great on the mic either. He's obviously, honestly, better than Roman. But I don't think that's saying much at this point. But I guess you can really call Aleister like a transitional champion. I don't know what they're going to do with him, because Ciampa's already in a feud with Johnny Gargano, and that's honestly one of the best feuds the WWE has done in a very long time. I'm hoping that doesn't end in a dumb way, but honestly, I don't think they can mess it up. NXT doesn't really mess up much stuff going down there, so it's ran very well. I'm excited to see what happens. I guess they're going to do the last match before Johnny gets called up as a championship match, which is going to be really exciting. I obviously expect Ciampa to retain. I think he's going to have a pretty lengthy title run in NXT, just like he said before he got injured. He's going to be the best heel in the company. He's going to be the best heel in NXT. So I guess that would make sense for him to maybe even break the longest record holding for NXT. So we'll see how that goes. I think Alistair is probably about to get called up to the main roster. I think that's the only move they have with him, really, because there aren't that many titles in NXT. And he's already been champion, like world champion in NXT, so I don't think he would, like, step down a notch, because he's really talented. So I think he needs to get called up to the main roster, even though that does make me a little bit nervous. I hope he would end up at, like, SmackDown over Raw, because I think he would get misused in Raw, like Finn Balor is, and so many others. So I'm really excited to see what happens with that, with Ciampa and Gargano and Aleister Black, and see what they do with him. Another big thing in wrestling right now is New Japan and ROH are combining to have a big show on WrestleMania weekend in Madison Square Garden. Sorry, like I said, I'm still a little sluggish. I'm sure you can hear my voice by now, and I'm becoming a little bit scatterbrained. I apologize. But yeah, I've been joking with my family. I'm not really joking. I'm dead serious. I want to go to New York and watch it. Tickets aren't going to be that expensive, and it's going to be a great show. You know, Madison Square Garden is the WWE's, like, baby. But New Japan and ROH says they don't care, and I'm sure it's going to sell out. I'm not worried about that. I think they're going to sell tickets easily. The Bullet Club by themselves with All In have sold very well with their tickets. So it's a very fun time to be a wrestling fan. And I think a lot of that has to do with the talent. And the talent's not all in the WWE. You know, you got talent everywhere. You got talent in ROH. You got talent in New Japan and a lot of other companies. And that's not to say that WWE doesn't have talent, because honestly, I think they're talent pool is probably the best it's been since the Attitude Era, and maybe even better than the Attitude Era in, like, wrestling anyways. I know we like to, like, overhype the Attitude Era, but the matches were not that great, a lot of them. Obviously, you had some classics, but for the most part, it was really good storytelling, and the characters were probably better than what they are today, but the in-ring work today is a lot better than it was in the Attitude Era. So, really fun time to be a wrestling fan. But this video is already so long. It's going over 24 minutes already. And like I said, I'm not really at 100% right now. Next episode, we're going to talk about politics again. I think I'm going to, like, rotate it out. I know I said it's going to be primarily a sports thing, but I think a little variety is going to be better. Like I said on the last episode, I'm also going to do movie reviews sometime. But right now, politics is pretty freaking wild, and so is sports. So I don't know when we're going to do that. But yeah. You can, if you don't like my opinions about Bryce Harper, and you don't think he should go to Colorado, you can leave a comment and tell me where you think he should go. Also, if you want to tell me what your prediction are, sorry, what your prediction is for the World Series. You can leave that in my Facebook comments. Be interesting to see what you guys think. If you're a wrestling fan, talk to me about Roman. Talk to me about New Japan. I'll talk to you guys about anything. And until next time, like I told those guys that didn't like wrestling, those freaking nerds. No, I'm just joking. Be a good person. Hug your grandma. Kiss your kids. Don't do anything that I wouldn't do. And until next time, I am out of here. What is up, guys? I am back with another episode of Behind the Dish. And I should probably start this episode by explaining myself. I said I was going to pump out content on a regular basis, but I didn't know I was going to get sick. I got caught something about 2 weeks ago, and I haven't been able to shake it. I'm supposed to get these treatments every so often to help me with my immune system, but I haven't been able to get that either. So it's just been a whole mess. And I'm not going to go into great detail about that because, one, you don't care, and two, it'll make me mad, and I don't know what I'll say. So we're just going to avoid that altogether. Today's episode is going to be political. I know most of you are shocked right now, because if you know me, you know how obsessed I am. And also, there are a couple things that I want to talk about today, and I want to do it before I get to Montevallo because, you know, I won't be pumping out much content at all when I get there. So I guess we can jump right into it. If you watch CNN or Fox News, which I try not to, and NBC too, not because I don't like to avoid these things because I'm an enemy of the free press and I think that they're an enemy of the people. I don't think that at all. I'm a mass comms major. I'm going to minor in journalism. That's going to be my field after college. And I respect what these journalists do. And sometimes I use the word journalist very loosely. But that's beside the point. I avoid these news outlets a lot because I don't like how biased they are. And that's, I guess, when you have a strong political opinion, you're obviously going to have some bias. But if you're a news outlet and a mainstream news outlet, I don't understand why you have to cater to solely to your base. I mean, you already got those viewers. I mean, they're not going to, you got them. They're on lock. Ride or die. Pretty much Fox News and their viewers are relationship goals. I mean, it would be a pretty delusional relationship, but I guess they're goals nonetheless. And obviously CNN too. Anyways, you already got these people watching your show all the time, so why not poke their bubble just a little bit to try to draw in other viewers, you know, people that are in the center or maybe just a little bit left, more left than you are, or maybe even a little bit more right than you are. Why not disrupt their delusion just a little bit? Because there are delusional people on the left, there are delusional people on the right. I don't agree with either of those groups. I am on the left, but I'm not in crazy town. I don't think so anyways. I'm definitely not on crazy town on the right side. I'm not anywhere near that. But another thing, and I guess this is specifically to do with CNN, they're such cookie cutter Democrats. And I say that they'll put these Republicans on their show and they'll just throw them softball after softball. And they'll just let the Republican on their show run them over. And it's such patty cake journalism, and it really makes me sick. But specifically for this episode, I'm going to talk about why CNN and Fox News are really honed into something that really doesn't matter right now. And I say it doesn't matter because it's not going to change any minds. So if you watch these news outlets recently, they're really focused on talking about Omarosa and her videos, or lack of videos, I don't know. But she claims that she has audio evidence that Trump has said the N-word. I mean, I believe it. It's not the most crazy thing I've ever heard in my whole life. It's probably one of the most obvious things. I mean, at this point, if you're American, you fall into two camps. You're either on the side that knows that, at the very best, Trump lied about being the least racist person that we know, or at the worst, he's a racist, and not even an apologetic racist. I don't know if that would make it any better, but a racist nonetheless. Or you're on the side that doesn't care, or just doesn't look into him. I mean, just completely oblivious. And I guess you can, that both are options, because you got people like Tucker Carlson on Fox News, who just goes around saying, you know, racism's not that bad. Black people are just, I mean, minorities in general are just making it up, I guess. You know, statistics are liars. But specifically, he went on Fox News recently and talked about the alt-right rally. They did another one to honor the last one where they killed a young black woman by striking her by a car. So we have stuff like that going on in America, and Tucker's like, you know, alt-rights aren't that bad. You can live your whole life without being an alt-right person. And alt-right's obviously white supremacy in America right now. That's such a lie. I get Tucker's trying to cater to his base, and I'm not saying all his base are like racist or anything, but I would say the majority of his base don't want to look into the racism problem in America. And I don't think that's ridiculous to say. I know a lot of people that are like that, that watch him and watch Fox News in general, and are like, eh, I don't want to talk about racism. It makes me feel uncomfy, so let's just not talk about it. So you have Tucker Carlson doing stuff like that and trying to make people lessen the impact of racism in America. And then you have episodes of his Fox News show where he's like, you know, the demographic in communities, neighborhoods is changing way too quick. He's like, nobody would be okay if your neighborhood turned 60% Hispanic overnight. He's like, I don't know anyone that would be okay with that. Hi, Tucker. I'm Sean Joyner, and I don't give a crap about who my neighbors are. As long as they're good people, I mean, they don't even have to be good people. They just got to be people that mind their business, don't commit crimes. I mean, if they can check those two things off, I'm fine with them. I mean, I'm pretty good at minding my own business. And unfortunately, Tucker Carlson isn't. And, since he's a racist, and I mean, we can call Tucker what he is, because if you have a problem with a black person or a Hispanic person or Asian or whatever whatever race, I guess that's a dumb that's a third grade word that I can say today, so we're gonna call it race. If you have a problem with a person of a different race living next to you, you're racist. I mean, there's no sugarcoating it. You are what you are. Own it. It's fine. I mean, it's not fine, but it's obviously fine to you. If Tucker Carlson falls into this category, or if I'm going to give him some credit, he either falls into that category, or he falls into a category that he's a smart guy, and he knows what his base falls into. And, I mean, they're both really sick to exploit. If Tucker feels this way or if he doesn't, I don't know. I don't know the guy. I don't want to know the guy. He makes me feel gross. Looking at Tucker Carlson makes me, it's just not a fun day when that happens. So back to what these news outlets are talking about with the Donald Trump saying the N-word. And why I don't think it really matters to anyone on either side, really, because it's not going to change any votes. And we're getting pretty close to the another election, and Democrats are getting closer to losing again. And I used to be, you know, complete independent. I said I wouldn't, most likely wouldn't vote Republican, but I didn't want to label myself as a Democrat or any kind of Democrat. But I'm gonna vote Democrat in the next president election. I'm gonna vote Democrat in the midterms coming up in November. And, you know, I'm a firm believer that you should vote for candidates, but we're at a point where we gotta hope that the Democrats put somebody good up, and somebody that isn't corrupted, somebody that is actually a Democrat and isn't Republican-liked. So that's what I'm hoping for, and we'll see how it goes. They make me nervous, though, because when their major news outlets are talking about, is Donald Trump racist, it doesn't give me much hope, because it's, to me, there's an obvious answer. And I know that if the people that don't feel the way that I feel don't really care, and it's not going to change their votes. So that's all I got to say about it. And, well, I guess I got something else to say. Donald Trump, and this is actually me defending him a little bit, I think. I mean, I think it's ridiculous for a president to say, but he called Omarosa a dog, and everybody's talking about how that's racist. And obviously, I'm a white guy. Maybe it is. I don't know. I don't think it is. But I think he uses dog for what most people use dog as a cuss word. Because he used it for men. He uses it for women. He uses it for white people. He uses it for minorities. So dog is definitely an insult that he likes to use for everyone. So I don't think it's very racist. I think a president shouldn't be calling anyone a dog. I think it's ridiculous, and I can't think of any president doing that. Not George Bush, not Bill Clinton, not Obama. Not any of them would do that. But we're not at a point where we're going to get a president right now that does things normal. And there's a lot of people that agree with that, and I don't, because I think the president is the most important person in America, and he should represent America in a positive way. And Donald Trump doesn't do that. I don't know one person that can honestly tell their kids, hey, you see Donald Trump? That's our president. I want you to be just like him. I don't think people would say that. He's not a role model. And you can argue Bush wasn't a role model. You can argue Clinton and Obama weren't role models, but they were more respectable than Donald Trump. I mean, anything that they did, Donald Trump's doing or trying to do. So, he's just not a good guy. But I do think there's an insult that he does use solely for minorities, specifically black people. And that's low IQ or stupid. And I think that's racist. Because when he goes on Twitter, he only calls people low IQ or stupid if they're black, like Maxine Waters or LeBron James, both smart people, but he calls them low IQ, which is freaking ironic. But yeah, if we're going to talk about that being racist, I'm down with it. I can agree. But him calling people dogs, I mean, I think he's called Ted Cruz a dog, which obviously Ted Cruz is a minority. Well, maybe it is. I don't know. I can't think of a white person he's called a dog. I'm sure there is one. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I just proved that I was wrong. So maybe he just throws out all kinds of racist insults and we just be like, eh, that's Donald Trump. That's our president. Go get him, Tiger. Anyways, I guess I'm going to cut this video a little bit short. I say short. Going on 14 minutes, but I hope I'll be back tomorrow with some sports. I want to talk about the Braves again. I want to talk about what I think the NL East is going to end up doing, what it's going to look like at the end. We'll see what else we get into. I'll probably talk about the Red Sox too, because they're on a ridiculous pace. And, you know, I don't hate the Red Sox. I think they're obviously not the underdogs anymore. They're pretty much the New York Yankees, but that's beside the point. They're still a little bit more likable than these. And until next time, you know, stop worrying about who your neighbors are, what color they are. It's fine. They're not going to do anything to you most time. It's fine. Hug your grandma. Take your kids to McDonald's. She's my cousin, but she calls me grandpa, and I love it. She likes McDonald's. She likes chicken nuggets. So, obviously, kids like chicken nuggets. If you don't have kids, you have a boyfriend, hug them, kiss them, do whatever. Don't do anything that I wouldn't do. Like I've said a million times, it's a really short list. But until next time, this has been Behind the Dish, and I am Sean Joyner, and I am out of here. What is up, guys? I am back with another episode of Behind the Dish, and I should probably start this episode by explaining myself. I said I was going to pump out content on a regular basis, but I didn't know I was going to get sick. I got caught something about 2 weeks ago, and I haven't been able to shake it. I'm supposed to get these treatments every so often to help me with my immune system, but haven't been able to get that either, so it's just been a whole mess. And I'm not going to go into great detail about that, because one, you don't care, and two, it'll make me mad, and I don't know what I'll say, so we're just going to avoid that altogether. Today's episode is going to be political. I know most of you are shocked right now, because if you know me, you know how obsessed I am. And also, there are a couple things that I want to talk about today, and I want to do it before I get to Montevallo, because, you know, I won't be pumping out much content at all when I get there. So I guess we can jump right into it. If you watch CNN or Fox News, which I try not to, and NBC too, not because I don't like to avoid these things because I'm an enemy of the free press and I think that they're an enemy of the people. I don't think that at all. I'm a mass comms major. I'm going to minor in journalism. That's going to be my field after college. And I respect what these journalists do. And sometimes I use the word journalist very loosely. But that's beside the point. I avoid these news outlets a lot because I don't like how biased they are. And that's, I guess, when you have a strong political opinion, you're obviously going to have some bias. But if you're a news outlet and a mainstream news outlet, I don't understand why you have to cater to solely to your base. I mean, you already got those viewers. I mean, they're not going to, you got them. They're on lock. Ride or die. Pretty much Fox News and their viewers are relationship goals. I mean, it would be a pretty delusional relationship, but I guess they're goals nonetheless. And obviously CNN too. Anyways, you already got these people watching your show all the time, so why not poke their bubble just a little bit to try to draw in other viewers, you know, people that are in the center, or maybe just a little bit left, more left than you are, or maybe even a little bit more right than you are. Why not disrupt their delusion just a little bit? Because there are delusional people on the left, there are delusional people on the right. I don't agree with either of those groups. I am on the left, but I'm not in crazy town. I don't think so anyways. I'm definitely not on crazy town on the right side. I'm not anywhere near that. But another thing, and I guess this is specifically to do with CNN, they're such cookie cutter Democrats. And I say that, they'll put these Republicans on their show and they'll just throw them softball after softball. And they'll just let the Republican on their show run them over. And it's such patty cake journalism, and it really makes me sick. But specifically for this episode, I'm going to talk about why CNN and Fox News are really honed into something that really doesn't matter right now. And I say it doesn't matter because it's not going to change any minds. So if you watch these news outlets recently, they're really focused on talking about Omarosa and her videos, or lack of videos, I don't know. But she claims that she has audio evidence that Trump has said the N-word. I mean, I believe it. It's not the most crazy thing I've ever heard in my whole life. It's probably one of the most obvious things. I mean, at this point, if you're American, you fall into two camps. You're either on the side that knows that, at the very best, Trump lied about being the least racist person that we know, or at the worst, he's a racist and not even an apologetic racist. I don't know if that would make it any better, but a racist nonetheless. Or you're on the side that doesn't care or just doesn't look into him. I mean, just completely oblivious. And I guess you can, that both are options, because you got people like Tucker Carlson on Fox News who just goes around saying, you know, racism's not that bad. Black people are just, I mean, minorities in general are just making it up, I guess. You know, statistics are liars. But specifically, he went on Fox News recently and talked about the alt-right rally. They did another one to honor the last one where they killed a young black woman by a striker and by a car. So we have stuff like that going on in America, and Tucker's like, you know, alt-rights aren't that bad. You can live your whole life without being an alt-right person. And alt-right's obviously white supremacy in America right now. That's such a lie. I get Tucker's trying to cater to his base, and I'm not saying all his base are like racist or anything, but I would say the majority of his base don't want to look into the racism problem in America. And I don't think that's ridiculous to say. I know a lot of people that are like that, that watch him and watch Fox News in general, and are like, I don't want to talk about racism. It makes me feel uncomfy. So let's just not talk about it. So you have Tucker Carlson doing stuff like that and trying to make people lessen the impact of racism in America. And then you have episodes of his Fox News show where he's like, you know, the demographic in communities, neighborhoods is changing way too quick. He's like, nobody would be okay if your neighborhood turned 60% Hispanic overnight. He's like, I don't know anyone that would be okay with that. Hi, Tucker. I'm Sean Joyner, and I don't give a crap about who my neighbors are. As long as they're good people, I mean, they don't even have to be good people. They just got to be people that mind their business, don't commit crimes. I mean, if they can check those two things off, I'm fine with them. I mean, I'm pretty good at minding my own business. And unfortunately, Tucker Carlson isn't. And since he's a racist, and I mean, we can call Tucker what he is, because if you have a problem with a black person or a Hispanic person or Asian or whatever ethnic, or whatever race, I guess that's a dumb, that's a third grade word that I can say today, so we're going to call it race. If you have a problem with a person of a different race living next to you, you're racist. I mean, there's no sugarcoating it. You are what you are. Own it. It's fine. I mean, it's not fine, but it's obviously fine to you. If Tucker Carlson falls into this category, or if I'm going to give him some credit, he either falls into that category, or he falls into a category that he's a smart guy, and he knows what his base falls into. And, I mean, they're both really sick to exploit. If Tucker feels this way or if he doesn't, I don't know. I don't know the guy. I don't want to know the guy. He makes me feel gross. Looking at Tucker Carlson makes me, it's just not a fun day when that happens. So back to what these news outlets are talking about with it, the Donald Trump saying the N-word, and why I don't think it really matters to anyone on either side, really, because it's not going to change any votes. And we're getting pretty close to another election, and Democrats are getting closer to losing again. And I used to be, complete independent. I said I wouldn't, most likely wouldn't vote Republican, but I didn't want to label myself as a Democrat or any kind of Democrat. But I'm gonna vote Democrat in the next president election. I'm gonna vote Democrat in the midterms coming up in November. And, I'm a firm believer that you should vote for candidates, but we're at a point where we gotta hope that the Democrats put somebody good up, and somebody that isn't corrupted, somebody that is actually a Democrat and isn't Republican-liked. So that's what I'm hoping for, and we'll see how it goes. They make me nervous, though, because when their major news outlets are talking about, is Donald Trump racist, it doesn't give me much hope, because it's, to me, there's an obvious answer. And I know that if the people that don't feel the way that I feel don't really care, and it's not going to change their votes. So that's all I got to say about it. And, well, I guess I got something else to say. Donald Trump, and this is actually me defending him a little bit, I think. I think it's ridiculous for a president to say, but he called Omarosa a dog, and everybody's talking about how that's racist. And obviously, I'm a white guy. Maybe it is. I don't know. I don't think it is. But I think he uses dog for what most people use dog as a cuss word. Because he used it for men, he uses it for women, he uses it for white people, he uses it for minorities. So dog is definitely an insult that he likes to use for everyone. So I don't think it's very racist. I think a president shouldn't be calling anyone a dog. I think it's ridiculous, and I can't think of any president doing that. Not George Bush, not Bill Clinton, not Obama. Not any of them would do that. But we're not at a point where we're going to get a president right now that does things normal. And there's a lot of people that agree with that. And I don't, because I think the president is the most important person in America, and he should represent America in a positive way. And Donald Trump doesn't do that. I don't know one person that can honestly tell their kids, hey, you see Donald Trump? That's our president. I want you to be just like him. I don't think people would say that. He's not a role model. And you can argue Bush wasn't a role model. You can argue Clinton and Obama weren't role models, but they were more respectable than Donald Trump. I mean, anything that they did, Donald Trump's doing or trying to do. So, he's just not a good guy. But I do think there's an insult that he does use solely for minorities, specifically black people. And that's low IQ or stupid. And I think that's racist. Because when he goes on Twitter, he only calls people low IQ or stupid if they're black. Like Maxine Waters or LeBron James. Both smart people. But he calls them low IQ, which is freaking ironic. but yeah, if we're going to talk about that being racist, I'm down with it. I can agree. But him calling people dogs, I mean, I think he's called Ted Cruz a dog, which obviously Ted Cruz is a minority. Well, maybe it is. I don't know. I can't think of a white person he's called a dog. I'm sure there is one. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I just proved that I was wrong. So maybe he just throws out all kinds of racist insults and we just be like, eh, that's Donald Trump. That's our president. Go get him, Tiger. Anyways, I guess I'm going to cut this video a little bit short. I say short, it's going on 14 minutes, but I hope I'll be back tomorrow with some sports. I want to talk about the Braves again. I want to talk about what I think the NL East is going to end up doing, what it's going to look like at the end. We'll see what else we get into. I'll probably talk about the Red Sox too, because they're on a ridiculous pace. And you know, I don't hate the Red Sox. I think they're obviously not the underdogs anymore. They're pretty much the New York Yankees, but that's beside the point. They're still a little bit like more likable than the Yankees. And until next time, you know, stop worrying about who your neighbors are, what color they are. It's fine. They're not going to do anything to you most time. It's fine. Hug your grandma. Take your kids to McDonald's. She's my cousin, but she calls me grandpa, and I love it. She likes McDonald's. She likes chicken nuggets. So, obviously, kids like chicken nuggets. If you don't have kids, you have a boyfriend, hug them, kiss them, do whatever. Don't do anything that I wouldn't do. Like I've said a million times, it's a really short list. But until next time, this has been Behind the Dish, and I am Sean Joyner, and I am out of here. What is up, guys? I am back with another episode of Behind the Dish, and I should probably start this episode by explaining myself. I said I was going to pump out content on a regular basis, but I didn't know I was going to get sick. I got caught something about 2 weeks ago, and I haven't been able to shake it. I'm supposed to get these treatments every so often to help me with my immune system, but I haven't been able to get that either. So it's just been a whole mess. And I'm not going to go into great detail about that because, one, you don't care, and two, it'll make me mad, and I don't know what I'll say. So we're just going to avoid that altogether. Today's episode is going to be political. I know most of you are shocked right now. Because if you know me, you know how obsessed I am. And also, there are a couple things that I want to talk about today. And I want to do it before I get to Montevallo because, you know, I won't be pumping out much content at all when I get there. So I guess we can jump right into it. If you watch CNN or Fox News, which I try not to, and NBC too, not because I don't like to avoid these things because I'm an enemy of the free press and I think that they're an enemy of the people. I don't think that at all. I'm a mass comms major. I'm going to minor in journalism. That's going to be my field after college. And I respect what these journalists do. And sometimes I use the word journalist very loosely, but that's beside the point. I avoid these news outlets a lot because I don't like how biased they are. And that's, I guess, when you have a strong political opinion, you're obviously going to have some bias. But if you're a news outlet and a mainstream news outlet, I don't understand why you have to cater solely to your base. I mean, you already got those viewers. I mean, they're not going to, you got them. They're on lock. Ride or die. Pretty much Fox News and their viewers are relationship goals. I mean, it would be a pretty delusional relationship, but I guess they're goals nonetheless. And obviously CNN too. Anyways, you already got these people watching your show all the time, so why not poke their bubble just a little bit to try to draw in other viewers, you know, people that are in the center or maybe just a little bit left, more left than you are, or maybe even a little bit more right than you are. Why not disrupt their delusion just a little bit? Because there are delusional people on the left, there are delusional people on the right. I don't agree with either of those groups. I am on the left, but I'm not in crazy town. I don't think so anyways. I'm definitely not on crazy town on the right side. I'm not anywhere near that. But another thing, and I guess this is specifically to do with CNN, they're such cookie cutter Democrats. And I say that, they'll put these Republicans on their show and they'll just throw them softball after softball. And they'll just let the Republican on their show run them over. And it's such patty cake journalism, and it really makes me sick. But specifically for this episode, I'm going to talk about why CNN and Fox News are really honed into something that really doesn't matter right now. And I say it doesn't matter because it's not going to change any minds. So if you watch these news outlets recently, they're really focused on talking about Omarosa and her videos, or lack of videos, I don't know. But she claims that she has audio evidence that Trump has said the N-word. I mean, I believe it. It's not the most crazy thing I've ever heard in my whole life. It's probably one of the most obvious things. I mean, at this point, if you're American, you fall into two camps. You're either on the side that knows that, at the very best, Trump lied about being the least racist person that we know, or at the worst, he's a racist, and not even an apologetic racist. I don't know if that would make it any better, but a racist nonetheless. Or you're on the side that doesn't care, or just doesn't look into him. I mean, just completely oblivious. And I guess you can, that both are options, because you got people like Tucker Carlson on Fox News, who just goes around saying, you know, racism's not that bad. Black people are just, I mean, minorities in general are just making it up, I guess. You know, statistics are liars. But specifically, he went on Fox News recently and talked about the alt-right rally. They did another one to honor the last one where they killed a young black woman by a striker and by a car. So we have stuff like that going on in America, and Tucker's like, you know, alt-rights aren't that bad. You can live your whole life without being an alt-right person. And alt-right's obviously white supremacy in America right now. That's such a lie. I get Tucker's trying to cater to his base, and I'm not saying all his base are like racist or anything, but I would say the majority of his base don't want to look into the racism problem in America. And I don't think that's ridiculous to say. I know a lot of people that are like that watch him and watch Fox News in general, and are like, I don't want to talk about racism. It makes me feel uncomfy, so let's just not talk about it. So you have Tucker Carlson doing stuff like that and trying to make people lessen the impact of racism in America. And then you have episodes of his Fox News show where he's like, you know, the demographic in communities, neighborhoods is changing way too quick. He's like, nobody would be okay if your neighborhood turned 60% Hispanic overnight. He's like, I don't know anyone that would be okay with that. Hi, Tucker. I'm Sean Joyner, and I don't give a crap about who my neighbors are. As long as they're good people, I mean, they don't even have to be good people. They just got to be people that mind their business, don't commit crimes. I mean, if they can check those two things off, I'm fine with them. I mean, I'm pretty good at minding my own business. And unfortunately, Tucker Carlson isn't. And since he's a racist, and I mean, we can call Tucker what he is, because if you have a problem with a black person or a Hispanic person or Asian or whatever, whatever race, I guess that's a dumb, that's a third grade word that I can say today, so we're going to call it race. If you have a problem with a person of a different race living next to you, you're racist. I mean, there's no sugarcoating it. You are what you are. Own it. It's fine. I mean, it's not fine, but it's obviously fine to you. If Tucker Carlson falls into this category, or if I'm going to give him some credit, he either falls into that category, or he falls into a category that he's a smart guy, and he knows what his base falls into. And, I mean, they're both really sick to exploit. If Tucker feels this way or if he doesn't, I don't know. I don't know the guy. I don't want to know the guy. He makes me feel He makes me feel gross. Looking at Tucker Carlson makes me, he just, it's just not a fun day when that happens. So, back to what these news outlets are talking about with it, the Donald Trump saying the N-word, and why I don't think it really matters to anyone on either side, really, because it's not going to change any votes. And we're getting pretty close to the another election, and Democrats are getting closer to losing again. And I used to be, you know, complete independent. I said I wouldn't, most likely wouldn't vote Republican, but I didn't want to label myself as a Democrat or any kind of Democrat. But I'm gonna vote Democrat in the next president election. I'm gonna vote Democrat in the midterms coming up in November. And, you know, I'm a firm believer that you should vote for candidates, but we're at a point where we gotta hope that the Democrats put somebody good up, and somebody that isn't corrupted, somebody that is actually a Democrat and isn't Republican-liked. So that's what I'm hoping for, and we'll see how it goes. They make me nervous, though, because when their major news outlets are talking about, is Donald Trump racist, it doesn't give me much hope, because it's, to me, there's an obvious answer. And I know that if the people that don't feel the way that I feel don't really care, and it's not going to change their votes. So that's all I got to say about it. And, well, I guess I got something else to say. Donald Trump, and this is actually me defending him a little bit, I think. I think it's ridiculous for a president to say, but he called Omarosa a dog, and everybody's talking about how that's racist. And obviously, I'm a white guy. Maybe it is. I don't know. I don't think it is. But I think he uses dog for what most people use dog as a cuss word. Because he used it for men, he uses it for women, he uses it for white people, he uses it for minorities. So dog is definitely an insult that he likes to use for everyone. So I don't think it's very racist. I think a president shouldn't be calling anyone a dog. I think it's ridiculous, and I can't think of any president doing that. Not George Bush, not Bill Clinton, not Obama. Not any of them would do that. But we're not at a point where we're going to get a president right now that does things normal. And there's a lot of people that agree with that. And I don't, because I think the president is the most important person in America, and he should represent America in a positive way. And Donald Trump doesn't do that. I don't know one person that can honestly tell their kids, hey, you see Donald Trump? That's our president. I want you to be just like him. I don't think people would say that. He's not a role model. And you can argue Bush wasn't a role model. You can argue Clinton and Obama weren't role models, but they were more respectable than Donald Trump. I mean, anything that they did, Donald Trump's doing or trying to do. So, he's just not a good guy. But I do think there's an insult that he does use solely for minorities, specifically black people, and that's low IQ or stupid, and I think that's racist, because when he goes on Twitter, he only calls people low IQ or stupid if they're black, like Maxine Waters or LeBron James, both smart people, but he calls them low IQ, which is freaking ironic. But yeah, if we're gonna talk about that being racist, I'm down with it. I can agree. But him calling people dogs, I mean, I think he's called Ted Cruz a dog, which obviously Ted Cruz is a minority. Well, maybe it is. I don't know. I can't think of a white person he's called a dog. I'm sure there is one. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I just proved that I was wrong. So maybe he just throws out all kinds of racist insults and we just be like, eh, that's Donald Trump. That's our president. Go get him, Tiger. Anyways, I guess I'm going to cut this video a little bit short. I say short. It's going on 14 minutes. But I hope I'll be back tomorrow with some sports. I want to talk about the Braves again. I want to talk about what I think the NL East is going to end up doing, what it's going to look like at the end. We'll see what else we get into. I'll probably talk about the Red Sox, too, because they're on a ridiculous pace. And, you know, I don't hate the Red Sox. I think they're obviously not the underdogs anymore. They're pretty much the New York Yankees, but that's beside the point. They're still a little bit more likable than the Yankees. And until next time, you know, stop worrying about who your neighbors are, what color they are. It's fine. They're not going to do anything to you most time. It's fine. Hug your grandma. Take your kids to McDonald's. She's my cousin, but she calls me grandpa, and I love it. She likes McDonald's. She likes chicken nuggets. So, obviously, kids like chicken nuggets. If you don't have kids, you have a boyfriend, hug them, kiss them, do whatever. Don't do anything that I wouldn't do. Like I've said a million times, it's a really short list. But until next time, this has been Behind the Dish, and I am Sean Joyner, and I am out of here.